Madonna. Turns like a little eel and comes away from trouble. Little squat man comes inside Butcher, leaves him for dead. Outside Panic leaves him for dead and puts the ball away.
Like Betamax, you do not make them like him anymore. What more can you say?
Suarez switching the play to Neymar. Neymar, great opportunity! And already, it's a goal for Barcelona! Messi was involved, Suarez was involved. Neymar applied a classy finish.
Rodriguez! Oh! Jim Reddick!
Where it was heading, Zidane just shows it to Gilberto Silva and then pirouettes away from him.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we have Joseph as usual on the as a co-host, but we also have a special guest by the name of Edson. For those of you that have listened to previous podcasts, you probably recognize his voice. He's also guest hosted on my other podcast as well. Edson was on the very first Football Weekly Podcast where we spoke about our love for Arsenal and all things Arsenal and tried to get into other things football related, but just kept coming back to Arsenal. So he'll be with us in for this whole show, actually. The whole show is going to be dedicated to the Champions League round of 16. The round of 16 finished yesterday. So we'll be talking about some of the ties, some of the things we saw, all the talking points from most of the games. We're not going to get into all the games. We'd be here for 2 hours if we did that. But we're going to talk about the majority of the marquee games, we'll say. And we'll also end off talking about Arsenal Monaco. As usual, you can get to us on our website. Website's footballweekly.com. It's FUTBOLweekly.com. You can also get us at Twitter, at @Reginaldinho_5. Joe's Twitter handle is JoeCola4, so JoeCola, the number 4. You can also subscribe to our podcast through iTunes, Stitcher, Player FM, TuneIn. There's also a number of different ways you can get to or subscribe to our podcast through podcatchers, which if you go to our website on the right-hand side, you can see all the podcatchers that you can subscribe to get our podcast. You can also subscribe via email as well. We also have a forum, Football Weekly Forum, where you can start topics, respond to other people's posts, and things like that. So if you have anything you want to say about any of the episodes that we had, if you want to ask us any questions, go right ahead and put that stuff in the forum. I look at it every day, so if there's anything that needs to be responded to by me, I will definitely do that. If someone has a question for Joe, I'll let him know, and he can. Well, he also has an account on the forum as well, so he can answer any questions that you have directed to him. But that being said, we got to get right into this because this is going to be a long show. So as usual, sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, which starts right now. In the third and final segment of today's show, we're going to talk about the results of the round of 16, which ended yesterday. All the teams that won and won their ties are through to the quarterfinals now, and the draw is actually tomorrow morning, I believe, at 8:30 in the morning, our time here in Canada, Eastern Standard. But what we're going to do right now is talk about some of the results. And we're going to, and we have Edson with us right now, like I told you in the intro. Both of us being Arsenal fans, we're going to, I'm going to try to leave as many minutes as possible to talk about
and
that rubbish.
I'm here for therapy about for all Arsenal fans. I'm the honorary Arsenal therapist, sports psychologist
wow.
for Arsenal fans.
You're going to need...
Lord knows we need one.
We might need more than one. We might need a team, like you said.
I'm going to bring you guys tough love today on Arsenal. How about that?
You know what? I'd like to hear the opinions of somebody who was an unbiased opinion on someone who's not an Arsenal fan and what they saw and what they view our chances of being anywhere near qualifying for Champions League quarterfinals. Per Mertesacker actually came out and said that we're not ready to go forward in Champions League. But anyways.
Yeah, can we dive into this one or no?
I want to leave that one to the end.
Okay, man. You know, I'm getting older. I need to, like, make better notes of what I'm... Okay, no problem. I'm good. We're good.
Okay, so we're going to leave that one to the end. That's the last one. I can guarantee you that
one. Okay.
We're going to start off in, well, we're going to start off with Real Madrid and Schalke.
Oh.
And what a second leg game that was. Real Madrid won the tie on the aggregate, 5-4, but they lost their second leg at home, 4-3.
Oh, what a game.
It was a fantastic game.
And what a calamity. Well, first of all, the one thing I have to say about Real Madrid, what a spoiled bunch of supporters they have over there. I mean, it is disgusting, the jeers that all their players are getting. You know, it started, I guess, last year, mostly with the Iker Casillas and them wanting him out. Are your memories that short to forget what he's done for you? From the age of, 17, 18, he started in the team?
That's it.
Unbelievable. You know, it's funny because I know you guys, we've talked about it many times, Reggie. As I say, I'm always up for people jeering Ronaldo, but that's unfair. Yeah. Like, come on, really? I mean, not to totally agree and just make it just a bashing on Los Angeles, but that was ridiculous.
Yeah, what have you done for me lately, bud?
Like, I don't get it. They just won their 10th Champions League. You know,
that was last year, Joe.
Yeah, but Reg, like, I don't know, man. Like, interesting point. And I know, Reg, what have you done for me lately? I got it. But, I mean, I don't know if they deserve to get jeered like that.
Well, no. I don't think based on the results that they're putting in, even in La Liga, I mean, you're coming up against one of the greatest teams in the world when it comes to Barcelona.
Those two, 1-1-8, right? Okay, Bayern for sure, but you know what I mean.
It's like, not a cold... I mean, I'm just speaking about La Liga. It's not a cold chop. And I think they're more upset that, you know, they lost the first place in La Liga to Barcelona, though. But you're losing it to Barcelona. This is a great... To me, they're the best team in the world. I think Bayern Munich's a nice second
team. Right there. They're in it.
Oh, I know that, but they're not in first. They're not in first, though.
Doing another one of these shows soon and saying how they're ready to repeat, right?
Exactly.
As champions, you never know with Champions League winners, and maybe, I mean, yeah, like Edson's saying, they're right there. They could be, you know, La Liga champions. They just bug me.
Absolutely.
I don't feel
And let's not forget that they're also dealing with injuries, right? Ramos out, Rodriguez out.
Not a bad little player, yeah. Well, Modric being out too. I'm going to say that too.
Modric was huge. Him not being in that game. As soon as he came in that game, everything changed.
The
midfield domination just completely got turned over, and I won't call it luck. I'd say that they're lucky to have him back healthy, though.
You know what? And back to their biggest rivals. Not to jump, but like, you know, you're looking at Modric and Rakitic right now. How important are they, two Croatian players, for the two biggest teams? Well,
in
obviously
Spain,
but you know, arguably the world. So interesting there, but.
And you said it last show about Rakitic. What a player, eh? Even though he scored yesterday, I don't care about the goal he scored yesterday, but just the
unbelievable,
just the damage he does in the midfield is
I think
for that team is great.
Goal was end product of what he did in that same sequence. You know, I was talking about it today in one of my sessions. I said, so he goes and wins the ball. He helped PK, whoever, win a ball in his own box. Busts his ass, gets all the way up the field. And not a little bad little left footer finds him and he scores a goal. I mean, unbelievable sequence of a modern soccer, right?
Yeah. The line that he took, the run, the intelligence of the run. I mean, the guy is awesome. And I think as a credit to his skills, he's got Javi. How much have you seen Javi this season? Yeah, this guy came in and stapled one of the best players that Barcelona's ever seen to the pine.
Right. Yeah, and put exactly and say, "Hey, Javi, you play Copa del Rey. I got this."
Right.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Unreal.
Yeah,
pretty much.
I said Reggie and I, or me for sure, been talking about this Croatia team. To me, they look scary good.
Oh, they are going to be good. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
But not to get lost in this whole tie. It was the play of Schalke in the that second leg. I mean, they played fantastic. To be down 2-0 going into the Bernabeu and doing what they did. That's a credit to them.
I would say, first of all, that kid Meyer had a great game, but that 19-year-old who scored the goal, who is that guy?
I think I was just dumbfounded. I had fun watching that. Straight out go for it.
It was a great game. Yep.
What the hell do we got to lose? This is Real Madrid. Who cares? We're going to go at it.
Yeah, we have nothing to lose. Just go out and play.
Yeah, you talk about fan support. We talked about the bad with Madrid. How about the great and Schalke? The fans staying after the game and just having a party.
Well, the German fans have always been good they support their team.
Absolutely.
Even the Dortmund fans traveling.
Great traveling support.
Oh, yeah.
And they played a fantastic, fantastic game.
Yeah.
And you know what? If I were a player and I were looking for a transfer, I mean, that would open my eyes to maybe, looking at Schalke as a team that would really be on the up and someone who could challenge in the Bundesliga, maybe step into the void that that Dortmund has left with their complete dip in form in Bundesliga.
Agreed. So, and, there's another, vote, I would say, for the Bundesliga just really gaining a ton of credibility. Not that they needed Schalke in this tie to do that, but just, again, a reinforcement of, wow, this league is not, obviously it's here, but wow, it's opening more people's eyes to the quality, I would say, up and down the league, if that makes any sense.
Great point. Yeah, I agree there.
And even Dortmund is now up to 10th in the league, so...
They were going to be relegated
2 months ago. It was like relegation. They're going to sell off their team. Where's Ruiz going? Where's Hummels going? And now they're back into 10th, and there's still games left. So they might even get a Europa League spot. You never know.
From relegation to Europe.
For sure. Yeah, so that tie ended up, like I said, aggregate 5-4 to Real Madrid. Me, very, very lucky.
Lucky. My gosh.
Another 10 minutes in that game, and it would have been I think they would have lost in 90 minutes. But anyways,
or like I said, if Modric hadn't come on, I think that they were leaking at that point.
Yeah, for sure.
Good word.
Any reason why he didn't start?
He just came off of injury.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they said he wasn't like fit enough to go 90 or even 75. That's why I think he only played that limited amount.
And on an Arsenal note, Sami Khedira as a defensive midfielder, no sir, no thank you, part to that.
Buddy, I see.
Does the word overrated have any?
You guys are just lobbing in these softballs that I want to knock out of the park, but we got to keep on track here.
No worries.
We can talk about that after.
To me, he hinders them. I mean, that's the obvious, but it's a really bad hindrance for them.
Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think just on display was the massive gap in quality between someone like a Modric, right, and a Khedira. Right.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I mean, you know what? Maybe he'll get those games where they're up 2-3 goals in La Liga and they're coasting. That's about it for him. Almost like you just save the other guys and put him in when the games are done. That's
agreed.
Yeah. But the rumor is he's going to Schalke anyway, but so they could have him there.
After that display, I'm quite sure they will want no part of him.
They might say, we're okay. We're good.
So we're done with that game. We'll go to, I'll just pick a name out of a hat, man. Chelsea PSG.
So, Reg, you know that I called that one quite some time ago.
Yep.
Even after the first leg.
Yeah.
And when I, first of all, the absurdity of that Ibrahimovic red card.
Wow.
I think we're going to agree on a lot of this stuff, guys, because that's just nonsense.
I want to talk about that red card as well. Because that, my friend, at this level of games and the amount of money that's involved and the prestige that goes along with it and everything that goes along with the Champions League. For me, the Champions League is my favorite tournament. Second,
yeah.
World Cup is second to Champions League. I love Champions League. I want to see the best of the best out there. And if you have the best of the best players out there, best referees have to play. Have to ref the games.
They gotta be on point. That was ridiculous.
And if that means bringing in technology to get the calls right, well then that's something that you're gonna have to look at. Because to give a straight red card for that, it should have been a yellow to Oscar.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people are saying that too, fouling Oscar.
He went studs up.
I know Neville was saying that on the broadcast, right?
Yeah. It's a terrible call, and it should have. Change the outcome of the game.
Do you like, maybe you don't like, but do you respect Mourinho? You got to, because of the amazing results that he gets. We know that how his brain works. But, you know, have you ever, like, outthought something too much? You know? Like, overthought something? Think of whatever it might be. That guy overthought it. Like, really? Come on, man. I think he outcoached himself.
That's well, you know, we spoke about this, Joe. When we were just like, yeah, you go away, get a tie, and then come back to Stamford Bridge, sneak a goal, and park the bus. And I know you hate saying park the bus, but that's what Chelsea would do.
And look at what I'm saying. Look at who me, who's like the, you know, traditionally at Serie A, Italian soccer. You know, we've talked about this, how much I am critical of them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is taking me back to like 1991 in the Serie A. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Come on. And it's not like you got like a. I'll use the example. You're not, with all due respect, you don't got Chievo Verona here. You got Chelsea with World Cup, Champions League. The list goes on. Pedigree type players.
Right.
At home, that's unacceptable. Yeah. That's what it is to me.
Yeah.
We're gonna get to Arsenal after, and Arsene Wenger deserves his lumps too. But if you're gonna talk about this, the special one, he deserves special lumps here. That's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And didn't they fire Di Matteo because he parked the bus and didn't play an entertaining brand of football, even though he still got the results?
Wow.
Absolutely.
Jose does the same thing, doesn't get the results here,
right.
and you hear very little criticism of him.
Yeah, he got it wrong.
It's unfair.
Yeah,
he got it wrong. On that night, he got it wrong.
Definitely.
Yeah, and against 10 men. Okay, against 10 men.
And you have Eden Hazard. Okay, yeah, they have the strongest game. No, but that's the most dangerous player, maybe, questionably, on the in the Premier League this year. And are you kidding me?
I will say this about Chelsea, though, and it's the same for their league form. That midfield has dropped off dramatically.
Oh, yeah.
Matic and Fabregas. Fabregas is taking his usual late-season plunge, which he has a habit of doing. But...
Yeah, it's funny you say that. I was just going to say about Fabregas. I wish I had the stat in front of me, but they show his traditional, and is it coincidence? I'm not sure. Every year, how strong he starts compared to how he finishes in terms of goals or even, you know, passes made. Like the quality, it's just something with Fabregas. And obviously, you two guys know, and he's been fantastic. Well, let's not get that. Let's get it straight. But
yeah, overall, certainly, he has been fantastic. But even like watching that Southampton game over the weekend, that midfield at Southampton absolutely dominated him.
Overran
him. He had to sub Matic out of the game so he wouldn't get that second yellow. He was getting run over by Wanyama and by Schneiderlin. Both of them.
Funny you say Wanyama, back to the Arsenal thing, I've been saying forever, and I know a couple other people too, is he'd be a great fit, but we'll get to that.
Signings for years. Ever since his display against Barcelona.
Yeah.
When he was with Celtic.
Yeah, he's
unbelievable.
He really is. Yeah.
But Wenger didn't think that he could adjust the Premier League, and there we go.
There's quality, right? And I think your quality. And back to, again, my original point, what we're saying is that's like a shameful display by Chelsea on so many levels. First of all, when he goes, we all know, guys, that can we say this, that he instructed his players, but he led up to this by saying, you know, this is the most aggressive team we've seen. he's ever played against. Like, he played into this. Mm-hmm. And that was definitely a tactic to have the ambush mentality.
Right.
When there's a cart. And again, I'll go back to my experience of watching despicable stuff in Serie A. Still to this day, a tackle happens and they just bombard the referee. That's what it was. Like, that's typically not something you'd see from, you know, a team in the Premiership. Because, hey, I mean, next to the MLS, that's the one that, you know, the fouls are, they're going to just say play on. That was ridiculous.
Yeah. So I think, what I think you're saying is that just the swarming mentality around the referee, do you think that was the deciding factor for the red? Or?
Twofold. I think possibly, yes. I know everyone's saying that. But my thing is just, back to the disappointment I had in the focus on the what his focus was for his tactics or his tactical decisions in that match. Do you know what I mean? Once again, you are not a small minnow. You're not Stoke trying to get a win at Chelsea, right? You are Chelsea on par with PSG, maybe the favorite. Many people have them to be a favorite. You're at home. I mean, you got to be better than that. Yeah. I expect more from Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
But Jose Mourinho led Chelsea.
I honestly really do believe
that the players rallying around or crowding around the referee and calling for the card, I believe that has to have some kind of influence.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as these referees, they have a job to do, they also understand who these players are.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they understand who the manager is. And I think a lot of these referees go into these matches just trying not to get it wrong. You know, they don't want to have their name in the papers, and when you're refereeing and the guy like Mourinho is one of the managers, you know that if you get it wrong, you know, especially against them and obviously with the home crowd there chirping as well, you know that if you get it wrong, your name's going to be in the papers.
Yeah,
okay,
for sure.
And you might be one of those guys whose name everyone knows, you know, an infamous sort of figure. I think that the crowd, plus the fact, you know, the specter of Mourinho on the sidelines and the players themselves crowding around got it done. Not to mention, obviously, you add to that the reputation of Ibra.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Temperamental.
Right.
You know, lose
right.
mind. And again, this is all a lead up. But again, the focus, great. You want to make that something that, hey guys, something to look for? No problem. We're all about gamesmanship. We all are guys that have played. We've, you know, watched these games for years. We get it, too. No problem. But
right.
you really have to make that your focus?
Yeah, well...
I mean, the numbers speak for themselves. His success in Champions League and in multiple leagues.
Two different teams. He's won Champions League with two different teams, right?
Yeah.
He's won leagues.
Right.
He's a great manager. Great manager. I think he played the first leg okay away from home, but the second leg at home, you should have been overrunning them left, right, and center, and especially when they went down to 10 men, it should have just been like a cold chop. Even when I was watching a game and they got the red that early in the game, and I was just like, oh my God, what am I going to watch now?
It's a wrap.
You know what I mean?
That's what everyone thought.
Yeah, and it was just like, wow.
Let's give PSG some credit as well.
Let's give them a ton. I guess I should let everybody know what the score, eh?
Yeah.
Everybody knew me, yeah.
Well, Chelsea and PSG fought to a 1-1 tie the first game, and second game was 2-2 at Stamford Bridge. Aggregate was tied 3-3, but Paris Saint-Germain won on the away goal rule, since they scored more goals away from home. And that was a 114th minute header from Thiago Silva that won the game.
You notice
that no forward scored for them in that game. It was both central defenders, right?
I love Thibaut Courtois. I think he's a fantastic goalie. But he gets kind of caught no man's land there, doesn't he? Again, out swinging corner, really hard to. Then it came out, but what a leap!
Oh yeah,
Thiago Silva.
Oh yeah.
He just owned the box. Like, he's ridiculous in the air.
How do we think David Luiz played that game?
David Luiz, yeah.
How do we think he played?
Overall?
Yeah, in that game.
To be honest with you, he's not my favorite defender. You know what, though? It was an inspired performance, and you knew he was going
to
put in one of those.
Yeah, coming back to
Stamford Bridge.
Yeah, for sure.
One of his former fans.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like, I like that inspired. It was, you know. But again, he wasn't challenged. About, how about let's get behind him? Let's Let's make him defend, because that's where he's going to cause himself issue.
Well, I think Diego...
He's like a kid.
I think Diego Costa was more interested in the physical aspect of, you know, bumping and getting himself... Getting you know, more physical than actually than David Luiz. I think he was more concerned about that than scoring goals.
And Reg Edson, this is where I think I go back to it and out-coach
Mourinho.
Himself. I think he was so focused on the gamesmanship, and he made that such a point to his players that they went away from, hey, if we just ball here and play, we can outplay this team.
Right.
Yeah,
that,
for
that's
sure.
why
yeah,
I agreed. Think they lost it. I mean, you know, getting those fantastic wingers, right? Not a bad one. Eden Hazard, get him in behind David Luiz. Let's make David Luiz do the thing that he doesn't like doing as a central defender, and that's defend.
Did Cuadrado play that game at all?
Like, that's what I'm saying.
No, he didn't, did he?
I think he did. Oh. He played, I think, maybe a few minutes. But I think in his entire time at Chelsea, he's maybe even played something like a total of a half of football.
Yeah, really.
And believe me, I've been doing a little bit of research online, and those Blues fans, man, Chelsea fans are already all over him, calling him a failure already. Well, give the guy a second to acclimate.
Yeah,
you know?
For sure.
And it's not fair to say, okay, everyone thinks Salah's pairing up. Okay, he is doing it in a different lower type league, but
right.
I get it. Like, Salah was never going to get a chance at Chelsea either, so everyone needs to just relax with that one too, right?
But, right. Yeah, because now he's playing well,
and
right?
Salah's doing exactly what De Bruyne is doing for Wolfsburg as well. I mean,
you had a great day today.
Did you watch that game today?
Oh my god!
Oh man!
But again,
I missed it.
Oh
back
man!
To what we've been saying about the Bundesliga, like, oh, wow, that's a whole other show, guys. I mean, this is unbelievable.
Wolfsburg
the Bundesliga, yeah. Sign me up for that show.
Oh yeah!
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, and we talked about last week. Edson, we talked last week about the fall of the EPL, actually. Now that all the English teams are coming out of Champions League, they're dropping out of the Europa League. So we were trying to find a league that could take over the mantle from the EPL.
Well, I think that's awful overblown. To be honest with you, I feel like Monaco is a little bit better than people probably realize, first of all. And we'll get to that.
But beyond that,
Barcelona, fantastic.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And on top of that, City had to play the first leg without Yaya Toure.
Right.
is that the one we're doing next?
Well, they're lost.
They're lost. They are terrible without him.
Listen,
terrible without him.
You know, this is how this game almost took me back, and for two reasons. I don't know if you guys agree, but it took me back to when Barca was, you know, like just staggeringly, like they were just sick in how they would play and what they would do to teams. This is Manchester City, right? like this is one of the best teams in the world with their players. I mean, are they having a dip in form? Hell yeah. But this is still Man City. They were on the back foot.
The entire game.
It's ridiculous. I mean, this was... They made them look elementary. Never mind what Messi
Absolutely.
Did to poor James Milner. But this was just unbelievable. And how this looked like the... I mean, Pep Guardiola's face and his reaction.
Yeah, great.
Might have been more entertaining than Messi.
Absolutely.
Like, this was...
Fernandinho kind of nutmeg, too.
Yeah.
That was really...
And this I guess Yaya was still bitter because, I mean, Reggie knows this, and I've talked about Yaya being fantastic, one of my favorite players in the world right now. But this made me think of the old Barcelona that made teams believe, we're done, let's just get out of here without getting massacred.
Right. Well, and the one thing that I will say about Yaya Toure in his defense for this second leg also, as soon as he came back, they've continued to run the legs off of him. Meanwhile,
agreed.
He had just come back from the African Nations Cup, which they played all the way through and won, right? An emotional victory. And then they come back, and, you know, the guys who won the World Cup in the summer, when they went back to their teams, they were usually, you know, they were afforded a little bit more rest, right?
Yeah.
And even then, still, guys had to struggle to find form. This guy comes back in the middle of the season and just jam him right back in the lineup and see what happens.
Yeah.
And put him in every game, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, but Edson,
and
you're
it's not
talking...
Like he's not getting on in the year.
You're talking...
You know,
Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, you're talking about the engine of your team, and you're coming to kind of the end of the season. How many games are left? in the season.
Nine games left.
We have a knockout game against Barcelona. We need you.
Yeah, it's like
you gotta. I think you gotta put him in. You gotta put him in.
Yeah,
I understand that. You got to put him in that game. But the games, rotate the squad a little bit.
You mean like the Burnley game?
I think this is where we're saying, like Rakitic and Xavi, this is the luxury they might have. I think
exactly.
It's almost like we can't put anybody else in, meaning, and again, ridiculous because, again, no one should feel sorry about City and what they can spend, right? I mean, they could spend more than almost anybody, if not more than anybody. But
right.
That goes down to that. And this is, we've talked about this before. I'm sure you guys have too. And, what it takes and how deep your squad needs to be to compete on all fronts.
Well, I think that they, in the summer, they bumped the squad up a little bit. Fernando was a good signing. They still have Milner, who can play anywhere on the field. And Fernandinho is Yaya Toure's regular partner back there.
Yeah.
Oftentimes they've been pushing Toure even further up the field now.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I'm not going to buy that. They don't have the quality.
Well, the quality is there. They definitely have the quality.
I think it more falls on the manager, to be honest with you. And it looks like Pellegrini is probably going to be on his way out.
Yeah, and I think it's almost because, obviously the results and the different form, but it just looks like they're ready for someone new, doesn't it? I mean, just physically, they just look like they're spent. Now, again, they had to go in their new camp and play them. I get it,
Joe, you're going into the new camp. It doesn't matter if we lose, because we're already out.
Yeah,
if we don't score, we're already out. Why don't I just put? I've got Wilfred Bonny. I've got Edin Dzeko. I've got Sergio Aguero. I've got Jovetic. Why don't I just put three of those four forwards up top and play a 4-3-3 and go for it?
I agree.
This is exactly what I was thinking about. Okay, Pellegrini, again, with the, I guess we'll just save face.
Don't get embarrassed, right?
Like, folks, let's not get, and our listeners, don't get confused by the 1-0. This was like a 5-0 game.
Oh, Joe Hart. Joe Hart.
Fantastic.
Joe Hart.
Lionel Messi.
Save
this was the old Lionel Messi. He was unreal.
You already know you're going to lose the midfield with Messi and Iniesta in there, even Radicic in there. You know you're going to lose the midfield, okay?
Yeah.
So you have to win the games in other parts of the field.
Agreed.
And I think if you put PK and Alves and even Jordi Alba under pressure,
How does Boney and Bonny and Jekyll, like you guys said, not get in there? And this is my biggest problem with, and it's not an EPL thing. It just happens to be the managers of these certain EPL teams that are getting it totally wrong.
Yeah.
This is not a midweek game at Craven Cottage. This is the Champions League.
Yeah, exactly.
And giving yourself a chance to do exactly that. Steal a game.
Yeah.
Steal a victory.
Ultimately, I feel like when you're not getting good performances out of your best players, that reflects on the manager.
Absolutely.
And Vincent Kompany has not been himself. He used to be the most dominant defender in the Premier League, if not in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Same goes for Aguero, who was a little bit disappointing.
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
obviously Toure as well.
No conviction. And it looks like he's given up.
Yeah, but...
Right. And I thought the Sami Nasri, and this is not Arsenal bias speaking here, but I thought the Sami Nasri selection was a waste.
Chunky Nasri.
Should have been up front.
Absolutely.
And at the very least, gotten off the bench and just given a different look.
And guys, have we not all watched David Silva over the last few years? Has he not been one of the most fantastic players? He looked like he was done. He doesn't want any part of this. And
you think he,
more than anybody, would be so up for giving it a go at Barcelona.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you got to play 90 minutes against Burnley the week before. You have to.
That's right.
And you still didn't get a result.
In the squad.
And you still.
Exactly.
Come down to guys.
Exactly.
Listen, when you win, no one wants to talk to you about the player. No problem. When you lose, it's on you. That's just the nature of it.
That's the job.
The stakes are high.
That's the job, man. That's the job.
I'm itching to get this. Are we going to get there soon, please?
Yeah. Well, Joel, hang on. We're going to talk a little bit about a team from Italy, and then we're not going to talk about the Bayern game because that's just ridiculous.
Okay, can we talk about this? Because I mean, Edson, you know, I've been on with Reggie before, and I've talked about Serie A and the Italian teams get enough of a beating, which they deserve, okay, because of the state of what's going on. But my God, Juventus deserves a lot of credit for this tie.
Okay, well, hang on, Joel. Hang on. Let me give the scores out and who won the ties.
Okay.
We'll talk about Juve, and then we'll roll.
Man, I'm not a Juve fan, so, okay.
And then we'll roll into Arsenal versus Monaco, okay?
Yes,
okay.
Sir.
So we'll start from the top. Porto versus Basel. Aggregate 5-1. Porto won the second leg 4-0. Porto goes through.
Yeah, over to me. with no Jackson Martinez, which makes them a sleeper for me, to be honest with you, going forward. I don't, you know, not to say, obviously, there are no easy matchups in the next
final
round.
Final 8,
yep. Yeah.
Right. But, you know, it's just something to watch. That's all.
Yeah, definitely.
Otherwise, I mean, it was Basel. We can move on from that.
Yeah, we can move on. We already spoke about Real Madrid versus Schalke.
I'm just ready to really listen to us, sir.
We lost Switzerland.
Exactly.
Neutral country. We love you guys.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, exactly. Chocolate watches, wicked, but we got to move on. Real Madrid, Schalke, we talked about that. Aggregate 5-4 to Real Madrid. Schalke won the second leg 4-3 at the Bernabeu. Chelsea, we spoke about, 2-2, Paris Saint-Germain, aggregate 3-3, Paris wins on away goals. Bayern Munich beat Shakhtar Donetsk 7-0, aggregate 7-0, they move on. Atletico versus Bayern Leverkusen, aggregate was 1-1, Leverkusen won 1-0 in the first leg, Atletico won 1-0 in the second leg, it went to penalties, Atletico wins 3-2 on penalties, so they go through. We just spoke about Barcelona and Man City. Barcelona won the first game 2-1 at the Etihad and won 1-0 in the second leg at the New Camp. Aggregate 3-1, Barcelona goes through. And we'll talk about...
should have been 5-0.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Your heart can forever brag about that.
Oh, for sure.
Can ever tell him that he's not quality.
He played one of the best games I've seen an English goalie play in a Champions League game ever.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, he was amazing. Amazing.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt. It just has to be mentioned. I thought, you know, we didn't really spend enough time on Joe Hart.
Yeah.
He's taken so much abuse over the years from England fans.
It's true.
And he was awesome.
And that one, and that group of England fans, with the boy, he doesn't do that in the World Cups. He doesn't do that in the Euro. You know that those English fans. But Joe Hart played amazing. Played amazing.
Yeah, he was great.
When the opposition is giving you high fives
exactly.
You know, hand slaps before the final whistle, you know you've done something.
Yeah,
absolutely. He was quality. That was as good as a performance you can have. And you know, talk about saving some dignity. He did that for Man City.
Well, I know you got
right. As good as Messi was, as amazing, as sublime as Messi was, you know, to me, Hart stole the show.
Yeah.
He did. He was great.
Yeah, Messi's pretty good.
He's okay. We'll keep him.
Yeah, he's all right.
He might be the next. He might be the first name on the sheet, maybe.
Really? You'd put him first name?
Oh
wow.
My gosh.
Wow. That's crazy, scary. Joe.
He's scary good.
So moving on to the second last game we're going to talk about, and we're going to talk about Juve versus Dortmund, which Juventus won this game 3-0 at Dortmund's field. They won the first game 2-1, I believe, Joe?
Yeah, 2-1. 2-1? And Dortmund was the better side in that game, and just thought Juventus took their chances.
That first game was a million miles an hour, man.
Oh, my God.
That pace was incredible. But
yeah, absolutely.
Anyways.
I hate to see Dortmund go out. I mean, they're just, to me, they're entertaining. I love watching them.
They are entertaining, and you have to give Klopp credit. You know, his strategies are always seem to be, you know, true, and he always seems to get it right in terms of strategy. But I that second leg was just unbelievable, the performance that Juventus put down.
How about this? Tevez on the Argentinian national team in the World Cup final.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up.
Yeah.
I don't know how he wasn't selected. I mean,
like, he was fantastic in this. Not only him, again, I'm not a Juventus fan, but I'm going to give them credit. They come out and attack you. They're not a team to sit back. That's not their style. Many people would think, again, you know, traditionally an Italian team. That's not Juventus. It really is not. Many would say sometimes to their credit. You know, yeah, exactly. Detriment. That's the word I'm looking for in champions in Europe. But full out to them. They came out and they strangled hold of this game.
Yeah, and as you said, I really feel like Tevez showed that he has plenty left in the tank, that he can be a game changer and a game decider. At the very least, if I were managing Argentina in the World Cup, I would have liked to have at least had the freedom to bring him off the bench for 30 minutes at the end of a game.
Especially in an extra time thing, right? Remember, guys, Paul Pogba got hurt in this game.
Yeah, he's out till May.
Right. That's right.
Out till May.
That's going to be big. Hamstring. I mean, they're homing, like, home and dry, home and clear in the Serie A. But, you know, again, this team, I'm not saying they're going to win, but like Edson said, you know, anybody at this point is dangerous, but good for them. Wait, how about this? Max Allegri, who, oh Lord, talk about a horrible exit last year at AC Milan. Like, yeah, exactly, right? Long-suffering AC Milan fan here.
Right.
But he took over here, and everyone said, okay, he's just coasting. You know, the team is already in place. Hey, Conte never got to the final eight. Of the
Champions League. Still got to coach these guys. I don't care who's on your team. You still got to coach them.
And he's done a great job. And this team, then, well, a lot of deficiencies, you know, at the back, unbelievably so. But going for, like, the numbers that they have, that the guys they can bring in midfield, you know, Vidal, we talked about Pogba, Pirlo hurt too, but, you know, Marquisio, like, they got some players. And Tevez is really playing out of this world. Really.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
One of the most informed strikers in Europe, would we say? I don't know.
So, what do you think's next for Dortmund? I know they moved up. You know, we spoke about it. They moved up to 10th in the Bundesliga. They're not going to get... They shouldn't get relegated. Do we think Jurgen Klopp stays? Do we think Jurgen Klopp goes to Man City? Do we think, you know...
I know the trifecta here. I don't know if what Edson and Reg, you guys think. Three things, three people. No particular order. Klopp, Hummels, Royce.
Right.
Whatever
you
they
think
do,
all go.
If they all go, I think we might have our answer, but I know they have a good youth system. But, I mean, they all go. We're looking at a different Dortmund team, obviously, and maybe what their goals are. But if, you know, if they keep them... But I don't see them. I mean, do you guys?
I don't think it's an if. I think they keep them.
Oh,
and
wow!
I think that they keep them. I think they, you know, they may lose a player or two here, Gundogan, maybe Mkhitaryan, you know, guys like that. But the guys who have been there in the trenches, like, I don't think Hummels is going anywhere because the club has said that Hummels is not going anywhere.
Really?
And you recall when all that talk happened regarding Lewandowski, right? I mean, he was in the last year of his contract, and they knew he wasn't going to sign back, but still dug their heels and kept him for that last year. Of course they could have gotten value for him on the open market at that point.
Right.
But they decided that they were going to dig their heels in and not do what Arsenal did with Van Persie, you know? And I feel like with everything that they've said about Royce, well, Royce just signed a new deal, didn't he? Or at the very least, there's a deal on the table for him, right? I don't think he'll even go anywhere, to be honest with you. I think Hummel stays. I think Royce stays. I think Klopp stays. I think they have another crack at it next season.
And again, without the burden, I would say, of Champions League football, to the very least, maybe Europa League, but maybe not even that. Having them just being in one competition could be a little scary too. And, you know, they might be back at giving Bayern a real go at the Bundesliga championship, right? So
that's a very good point, actually, because if they do that, right, and they can sell a couple of players and still afford to sort of keep the squad as is if they're only worrying about one or two competitions next season, right? They don't have to refill the squad. They can sell, still get a little bit of money. You know, maybe make up for the Champions League money that they'll be missing out on and mount some kind of attempt to recapture the Bundesliga. I think it's definitely possible.
You know, like, I mean, especially they're ending off the year a pretty positive note, like Reggie has said. So, yeah, to me, it's dependent on that trifecta. And, yeah, I mean, if they do stay, then for me, it's simple. They have a bright future.
Well, and once again, going back to the whole World Cup issue, right? I mean, again, that's another team that had a few guys on the German national team. You wonder why they got off to a slow start, right?
Yeah, and
meanwhile, and everyone's looking at Man United and wondering, oh, what happened to Di Maria?
Yeah.
Well, he played all the way through the World Cup into the finals, right? And his team lost.
Reggie and I have talked before, Edson. I think that's why with Reggie saying about Champions League football being the best, it's because of those things. There's too many games. There's too many strain. I think even before they get back, Edson, Reggie and I have talked about before, maybe you guys have as well, is that even during the World Cup, sometimes you're not seeing the best soccer because these guys are physically, their
too
bodies
many
are
games.
Spent.
Yeah,
it's way too many games.
Players in the world.
When you're talking about the qualification games, the international weeks that you got to go through, plus your games, plus your FA Cup, or if you're in England, FA Cup and Carling Cup and League,
and then you got to fly
halfway across the world to play a qualifier, yeah, and then you got the tournament that year. It's too much, man.
Too much, and then we need all three of us to do a show on this too about, again, talking about, you know, the quote-unquote failure of English teams. I think it's all that. It's all the games they play. No winter break.
That's the one.
And Luis Enrique talked about it yesterday. They asked him, do you think the winter break has anything to do with it? He goes, well, I know it helped us. And he says, I know we enjoy watching their games on the break. But, you know, like, of course it does. Like, are you joking me? Like,
well, you're going to take away my Boxing Day games, man? What the hell's wrong with you?
There you go, right?
$5 billion. They just someone just paid $5 billion for the rights to air their games.
And that's not going anywhere, guys. We all know that, right?
Come on.
We know they're not going anywhere. Yeah. We know the brand that is the EPL. Like, we know it, right? Like,
yeah.
Definitely. Are we there yet? I feel like it's my
okay. It's like Christmas Eve. Freaking 11. It's 11:55. Okay, open a gift.
Milk and cookies out.
Open a gift and leave me alone.
Okay, first, Edson and Reggie, please sit on the couch here.
We'll sit back and let you. Yeah, okay. You have the floor.
All right.
Joe Freud.
Well, let me give the scores out, and then we'll get right into it.
Okay.
Monaco versus Arsenal at the Emirates beat Arsenal 3-1. Then Arsenal went to Monaco's home field, which I don't even know the name of the stadium, and won 2-0. Aggregate was 3-3, but Monaco wins on away goals. Go, Joe, go.
There's so many things here. First, we'll get to Arsenal later, okay? But first of all...
Okay, Joe, you take over the show. I'm going to be a guest. Me and Edson are going to be the guests.
No problem. Right, we're the guests.
You go ahead.
I want to welcome you to the psychiatric hour, the sports psychology hour, with the healing of Arsenal fans.
Okay.
First of all, guys, you have a lot of reasons. I understand how you feel.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate your feelings here.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, bottom line here, guys. Who's been the best team in the last, let's say, 3 weeks out of the English teams, right? No one can tell me it's not been Arsenal. There's no way. They have been.
Okay.
They had a bad night, and guess what? They picked the worst time to have a bad night. That bad night when they were flat as hell cost them a place in the quarterfinal.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they did in Monaco was patient, calculated, and they got a great result.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and this, we're talking about giving yourself a chance. How about you lose 2-1 at the Emirates and you're through?
How about you don't lose?
That's their goal.
Right? The attention to detail and getting through a tie, to me, falls back, of course, back to Arsenal. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's, again, this is inexcusable for me for Arsenal. Right? This is inexcusable. Because I don't...
I agree.
You know, going out with their head held high? No.
No.
This, you guys will not like to hear this, but it is going to hopefully help you in the healing process. Arsenal was good enough to win this competition.
Well, the whole
crazy for saying that.
Yeah.
But they are.
Yeah.
They were.
Of course.
They messed up the game at the Emirates. And not even the game, the entire game. Because, you know, we talk about this all the time, right? Like, we're guys who watch football. We understand it, okay? If you've ever been around it, like we have, all three of us, you know, it's managing parts of the game. It's not one game you're winning, right? That two-leg game or two-leg situation has many moments, many situations. Many. They had a lifeline. At 2-1, they're fine.
Yeah, at
3-1,
it was okay. It was okay at 2-1.
Yeah,
it was okay at 2-1. It was okay. At least we got that goal. Okay, perfect.
Absolutely.
And then 5 minutes later, they scored again, and it was just like, what in the world is happening here?
Yeah, we were far too stretched out for that third goal. I mean, why are you pursuing it at that point? 2-1, that's an easy score. I'm not saying easy, but that's a score line that you can turn around.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you do the Jose and you park the bus. Okay?
Absolutely. Get out at 2-1. Don't be, and this is where that EPL mentality sometimes, and most times, hinders English teams. It's got nothing to do with quality. It's got to do with approach, and in my mind, mentality, and how we take that. 2-1, don't be so arrogant. Get out of there, regroup, and win the tie. And then to say, we went out with our heads held high. Arsenal, it's not about heads held high.
That's nonsense.
You should be going through.
Yeah, that's nonsense to
well,
me.
Well, you know what? At the very least, the players are not taking that same attitude.
Yeah. Mm.
Ramsey and Koscielny, they've all sort of come out and said, you know what, this feeling is too familiar. And frankly,
seen it before.
You know, there's no moral victory in losing to a team that you are favored to beat. Now, in years past, when we've gone out to the Bayern Munichs of the world, different story there.
Barcelona. Okay.
No, I just feel like this should be the wake up call that we've needed. And hopefully.
And this is why, guys, this is to me where this is the shining the light down moment where you will be healed. If we take us to like a Bible chapel in the deep south of the United States, I'm saying
preach,
it.
Sir. Preach, preach.
I'm saying this team, at least they've all, and Edson said it, the team realized, no way, we're good enough. And I think they, surprisingly here, I know Arsenal fans, you guys don't want to hear this because you're like, you've heard of it all before. This is the step forward this team needs. I promise you.
Well, I think in the first leg when we say, why are you going for it? I think it was ever since the draw, and I'm going to be guilty of it as well. When the draw was happening, I was just like, oh shit, okay, Bayern Munich or Barcelona, which one are we going to get now? Yeah. And those are the 22 teams I thought we were going to, and then they said Monaco, and it was like, what? And already in my mind, I was like, okay, who's playing where? Okay, we could possibly play this team. And I didn't even think about Monaco.
Mm-hmm.
And I think most Arsenal fans did the exact same thing. They were just looking ahead past Monaco.
And obviously, guys, so did that team that took the field.
Well, that's
that
what I'm
saying. Night at the Emirates.
That's what I'm saying. The first 10, 15 minutes of the first leg, I thought, you know what? Arsenal was taking it to them. I thought, this is going to be 5-0. I feel bad for Monaco. And it didn't turn out that way. But at the end of the game, when we started to overrun the game and take it to them a little bit, I can see Arsene Wenger saying, this is the way it should have been. We need the goals. We can't lose at home and then have to leave it to going back to their most stingiest defense in Champions League and needing to score 2-3 goals. We can't do that. So go for the goal. And I think we saw his, in the second half of that game when he scored that third goal, we didn't have enough recovery speed. And I think yesterday, Edson and I were talking about this yesterday, when he put on Kieran Gibbs last night.
Absolutely.
You know, so everyone goes forward and you have Bellerin on one side and Kieran Gibbs on the other side. You got two track stars on each side for that recovery speed because we're going forward.
And why I told Reggie, and why I believe Arsenal is going to win this, is the AC Milan tie from a couple of years ago.
Right. Yeah.
Arsenal almost pulled off one of the greatest comebacks ever.
Yeah, but we keep talking about almost. It shouldn't be almost. We should be smashing these teams.
And this is my point, Reg. Again, in the heyday of AC Milan winning and being competitive in Champions League, back to the great managers they've had, right, and Ancelotti, it was about looking at the tie as a whole and not two separate things.
180 minutes plus extra time if necessary.
Right.
Making a change where you're saying, okay, these guys are they're looking like they're going to push here. This might happen. Let's plug a hole here so that we don't concede.
That's right.
To give us an opportunity. And that's where I say, shame on you, Arsene Wenger. And here's where I slap Arsene Wenger on the wrist. That was arrogant from him. And it's unbelievable that it was, knowing the spirit of a Monaco team that you guys just talked about, how stingy the defense was. A Monaco team that had nothing to lose and how motivated they were vis-a-vis Schalke, Real Madrid. This was inexcusable, Arsene Wenger.
Right.
This is not.
I agree with you.
It's not on the players because he had to have them ready, right? And he didn't.
It's not just about the readiness as well. You have to manage, like you're saying, you have to manage that first leg. And just watching the game, I remember when Ox put that in the top corner and scored that goal, I thought to myself, how lucky. After watching it, I was like, how lucky. And that's what Wenger should have been thinking. He should have thanked his lucky stars and tried to moonwalk out of there with that 2-1, regroup and come back for the second 90. And he would have been through.
Yeah, but instead, Edson, we had this, back to what I was talking about, like almost immature, and I can't believe I'm saying that, I'm an Arsene Wenger. But, you know, to look at, I got to get this in this tie, in this game. Not a chance. You do not. Get it in the other one. You're telling me Arsenal goes, hey, guys, 2-1. You lost. You weren't at your best at the Emirates. You're going 2-1 in Monaco. What do you think?
Yeah.
I think you're going through.
I put my money on that.
That's right.
It's not about winning the two games. It's about getting through. And I think that's where he needs to channel some of his, you know, not in this Champions League, but traditionally a Mourinho type or Ancelotti type, get through, get the result.
Yeah, I think you make a good point.
And I think maybe part of it as well is the fact that it was Monaco.
Exactly.
His former club where he feels like he's a legend. And I think that his pride was hurt. When we were losing on our own pitch 2-0, I felt like his pride was hurt. And
yep.
And because of that
happening, right?
That's right. And he couldn't settle for the 2-1. That wasn't good enough for him.
That's right.
That wasn't good enough.
I definitely agree with that.
And that's what hurt us.
It used to drive me mental, guys, when Capello, and again, I apologize, guys, for our listeners, I'm going back to the years when, you know, again, the Serie A was relevant, and he would manage a team. He'd just taken over a team that was, you know, playing, as Reggie would call it, champagne football, right? And he would be winning games 1-0, 2-1, and, like, he went through all these straight minutes where the goalie didn't have a goal, and that team dismantled Barcelona 4-0 in Champions League, European Cup final. And he was always given a hard, I would say, it's boring and so on. But he got the result, and he ended up winning on the grandest stage and playing that type of soccer, football. So, to me, he got it wrong. And Edson, I've been saying about readiness, but you're right. He got it wrong in the managing part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because he mismanaged that end of that game. He mismanaged it.
Yeah.
And you don't get those chances very often.
Nope.
Right? Because, like you guys said, I don't have to tell you, Arsenal fans, you're used to getting toughest draws. You're used to getting that. And this was a mismanagement from probably, you're right, Reggie, and it's from the draw.
I guarantee you, when I saw Monaco, I was just like, cold chop, who's next? And
I can't see
any of the players not thinking of that either. I don't care what they tell you.
I know Capello was famous for when draws came out, or Ancelotti. Once draws came out and they said, quote-unquote, it's favorable, team meeting right away the next morning to say, this is the approach, you're playing the best team, we don't care. And again, maybe Arsene did it, I'm not sure, but the way it came across, like we're not in that dressing room, but the way it came across, hell no, that
didn't seem like that.
No, that's right.
Not even close.
But, I don't buy this, Arsenal fans. I don't buy it with the quality that's there. I don't buy it that the side's not there to win. I don't believe that. I think, like I said, they're playing. Are they playing better than Chelsea right now? Hell yeah. Are they playing better than, than Man City? I mean, really? Like, Burnley proved that. So, it's just, to me, again, I use this word again, unacceptable to get out at this stage. And I'm glad the players stood up because they're showing some leadership, right? And they're saying, this should not happen.
No, but your coach is saying something else, right?
Well, right.
The rest of the season to think about. And getting back to the Champions League, of course, our fourth place trophy. So
forever fourth. But I think this year,
I think that, you know, now he's trying to, as much as he can, keep the players' heads in getting back into that fourth spot and getting back into the competition and qualifying.
And Edson, here's my second point of the Arsenal revitalization and the salvation of you Arsenal fans. Fourth place will not be for Arsenal. They will finish higher.
I think we finished second.
I agree with that also.
I think
City is free falling down the table right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's happening. We're seeing it happen. Not to mention, you know, Chelsea. And obviously, I don't want to put the kibosh on it. I don't want to, you know, jinx it or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But Chelsea's got a tough schedule down the stretch here.
Yeah, sure do.
They absolutely do.
And the noose is tightening a little bit, okay?
Absolutely.
They're starting to feel the pressure, and their players are not in form. Don't let anything happen to Ivanovic. Don't let anything happen to Hazard, okay? Because, trust me, everybody else's form has been spotty at best.
At best, yes. Right. And what about this lack of belief now that says, hey, this used to be this guy's M.O. We followed everything to a T. We didn't get through. Just saying.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that belief in this special one, you know, not to just keep kicking him down, but hey, that belief and that strength in his abilities, it is being called into question.
You think, right? You
guys,
think he's running?
Are all these teams, all these players just going to forget how to play? No, it's a confidence thing. And that informed thing that we always talk about right now, I'm going back to it. Hello, Arsenal is informed.
And I think that there's going to be ample motivation here now down the stretch. If we can first shake the disappointment of not making it through, and obviously we can still, off of the victory, even though we didn't win it on aggregate, off of the victory, we can ride that to continue good form. I think that is certainly possible.
And this is what, I agree with, but You get a pitcher in baseball. How about this? You get a shooter in basketball. Okay.
Right.
He's gonna keep. You pick a sharpshooter, anyone you want. If he keeps missing those shots, you still want him to have that shot in the end? Absolutely. He had a bad day, and they picked a bad time to have it. And that's all this is. This, to me, again, another glitch. But this team is still ready to take a step forward. And maybe we see that step forward this year. But this, it's not all doom and gloom. I would say there's more doom and gloom, you know, at the Citizens there in Manchester than there would be in Arsenal. Well,
you know, this is helping, Jeff. This is helping.
I'm here to help.
We have an FA Cup semifinal coming up. We also have, like, the run-in for the rest of the league. And like you said, Joe, I believe, I honestly think that Arsenal's going to finish second in the league.
Me too.
And I think they're going to make some noise in the FA Cup. I think they play Reading next. And, like, obviously we can't overlook any opponents because we just talked about that and we just did it. And now we're sitting out of the Champions League. So we can't think that Reading's a cold chop either. We got to go in prepared for that. But I think if they play the way that they're built to play, we should be hoisting the FA Cup for a second straight season again and finishing the run-in with the rest of the games close to undefeated.
You know, we know, guys, it's about runs of form. It's about where you stand right now. What have you done for me, as Reg would say lately? And right now, yeah, they're out of that. But again, back to, like, the Borussia point of, you know, once they're out of Champions or they can just focus on that, well, I mean, you know, here's the bright side of not being in the biggest competition is still got a lot to play for domestically, right? So,
and also, not to say moral victories, but, you know, we won 2-0. I think that we were maybe an ox or a Rambo start away from probably, getting results.
Don't start with me with that.
I do feel that. I felt like Cazorla was a little bit ineffective in there, and I felt like, we could have used somebody that maybe wouldn't have been, size-wise against their midfield. I just feel like Cazorla was a little small to go against guys like Mbogby. I just thought that, and not to mention the way that Rambo had played on the weekend. And how he had linked with Giroud, and how well he always links with Ozil.
Who has come out of the dark. I think he's been a really bright spot the last few games.
Who's that?
Absolutely,
Ozil.
Well, absolutely. I was telling these guys earlier, like, not on the show, but just talking about Arsenal. It's like, ever since he got hurt against Chelsea, I think he's put on about 10, 12 pounds of muscle. He looks bigger.
Yeah. Well, he looks that way, doesn't he?
And I think it's helping him, shield the ball. When he was playing in at Real Madrid, it's just, I like to say champagne football, right? You got Ronaldo here, Modric here.
He was in good shape then, too.
That's a lot of times Ozil's interest level, if you will, has been called into question sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And again, we forget that, right? Guys are like, are guys up for it, and are they not? And when he is up for it, he's one of the best in the world.
Sure is.
Absolutely.
Sure
you know,
is.
But it's that big if. But the maturation of Arsenal. You're not talking about a team that is old. You're not. You're right. Not talking about an old team. This is still a team, like, if you talk about, again, those windows and, the cliches like that, the window. There's no shut window here. There's none.
Right.
This is, there's no way this is window shut. And this is, it's funny that the rise of Ozil has come with a little bit of a dip, if you will, of Alexis Sanchez, but to me, he's still at any given moment.
He's been 90 minutes since the beginning of the season.
And this is why I give him
exactly.
After a World Cup year, that he was 90 minutes in that as well.
And who was fantastic,
exactly.
too. So to me, Alexis Sanchez gets the. Hey, listen, it's about time as it Ozil start picking it up for a guy like that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
In the final chapter of the revitalization and the salvation of Arsenal fans,
Wenger out.
You are officially healed.
Wenger out if you want the final chapter. That's
well,
what it has to come to, right?
That's like going to be your nirvana.
we'll see what happens because...
I don't know if I've almost given you too much tonight, guys. You're lucky I like you guys.
Well,
hope springs eternal. Hope springs eternal, my friend.
On that's where we got to end it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, guys, this has been fun. I enjoy talking football with, and even ending it off on a sour note with our Arsenal, Edson.
Hey, you want sour? I'll give you sour. It goes like this: AC Milan. That's sour. That's sour. Okay. Yeah,
that's
all right.
That's tasteless. That's not even sour. That's tasteless, man.
Exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, guys, I appreciate you guys taking the time and talking on the show today. It was for me anyway. I had fun, and it was fun and informative.
Very therapeutic as well. Yeah,
I think so.
I think so. Dr. Joel Freud aims to please.
I think so. Well, that's it. We'd love to have you on again if you're free. I know you're not even in town, and you took the time to talk to us, so appreciate that.
Thanks for having me.
No problem. If you anytime you want to come on, just let me know, and we can do this. We'll probably talk. We'll probably do an Arsenal show at the end of the season. We'll probably do two.
Sign me up.
We'll probably do two, like a recap of everything, all the leagues, and then we'll do a final. What the hell did Arsenal do right? What the hell did Arsenal do wrong type of show? And Joel can be the mediator
of that. I can
mediate
through that, yeah. I can help you guys through that. This is like I do a 4-part thing here. You signed up for another 3 parts, so we're okay.
Yeah, as long as the check doesn't bounce. Okay, cool. So guys, as usual, website, forum, all that good stuff. We'll catch you next week. Thanks, Edson.
Thanks, Edson.
All right, guys. Cheers.